Call the roll.
Ackerman. Ackerman Anderson. Anderson Avakian. Avakian Barker. Barker Barnhart. Barnhart Berger. Berger Beyer. Boone. Boquist. Brown. Brown Bruin. Buckley. Burley. Butler. Butler Cameron. Cameron Dallum. Dalto. Dalto Dingfelder. Dingfelder Esquivel. Esquivel Farr. Flores. Galizio. Gerard. Gerard Geltzer. Gilman. Greenlick. Hannah. Hansen. Haas. Haas Holvey. Hunt. Jensen. Kitts. Comp. Krieger. Krupp. Krupp Crummel. Crummel Lim. Lim McPherson. McPherson March. March Merkley. Morgan. Morgan Nelson. Nolan. Olson. Richardson. Richardson Riley. Riley Roblin. Roblin Rosenbaum. Schaffler. Schaffler Scott. Shields. Greg Smith. Patty Smith. Sumner. Thatcher. Tomei. Wisnet. Wisnet Witt. Speaker Minnis. Not answering. Anderson. Avakian. Barker. Barnhart. Berger. Butler. Dalto. Dingfelder. Esquivel. Hannah. Haas. Krupp. Crummel. Lim. McPherson. March. Richardson. Rosenbaum. Schaffler. Wisnet.
Colleagues, when we recess, we are into propositions and motions. Chair requests unanimous consent to temporarily advance to the order of second reading of House bills. Is there any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. Clerk will read the bill. Chair question asks consent the rules be suspended and House Bills 3510 and 3511 be read second time immediately. Any objections? Hearing none, so ordered.
House Bill 3510 related to school finance and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3511 related to sex offenses and declaring an emergency.
Bills read second time and passed third reading. Chair question unanimous consent to temporarily advance to the order of business of third reading of House bills. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Chair request unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and House bills 3510 and 3511 be read third time immediately. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Clerk will read the bill.
House bill 3510 relating to school finance and declaring an emergency.
Question now rises upon third reading and final passage of House bill 3510, Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. House Bill 3510 increases the lottery fund's allocation to the state school fund by $42,245,000. The expenditure limitation for these funds is included in the companion bill, Senate Bill 5644. The bill also prohibits the Superintendent of Public Instruction from distributing the additional lottery money to education service districts and clarifies that priorities established for the allocation of lottery funds, including lottery bond debt service obligations, are maintained in this special session bill. The bill has an emergency clause and is effective July 1, 2006. The committee recommends approval of House Bill 3510.
Representative Boone.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues, I rise in support of House Bill 3510, which will allocate more than $42 million in excess lottery funds to the public schools in our state. For our children, this bill is great news. It comes at a time when schools around the state are struggling to keep their doors open for a full school year. It comes at a time when schools are purging good teachers from their roles because they can't afford to pay them. And it comes at a time when Oregon's average elementary class size is the second worst in our nation, with classes in some schools reaching upwards of 30 students. This is not a productive learning environment for our children, so when we can help schools prevent layoffs or buy books, Oregon's families win. But colleagues, this bill is only a small step forward for Oregon's public education system. What we are offering it to Oregon's public schools is a band-aid for a broken back. This bill does nothing to solve the problem of consistent funding source for our schools, something both Republicans and Democrats want to solve. Their budgets are subject to the rise and fall of the state's economy, an economy that has swung wildly in the past few years, and this unpredictability has left our public schools in dire financial straits. The good news is what is important today. I know that in West Lynn, Wilsonville School District will welcome an extra $575,000 for their budget. Teachers and students in Crook County will look forward to an additional $241,000. In Bend, they'll get more than $1 million in the new funds. Medford's $910,000 and Eugene's $1.3 million will make school administrators rest a little easier. And on my district, we'll get a little over $500,000. And I know that will make them happy, too. So, colleagues, this is a funding bill that will benefit all of Oregon's school districts. Today, we should be proud of the way we've come together in a bipartisan fashion to address this critical need. We've taken a very positive first step, and I urge your yes vote on House Bill 3510. Thank you.
Further discussion? Representative Krupp.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
And Madam Speaker, and all of my colleagues will be happy to know these are my only comments for the entire day. Thank you. And so I'm going to rise to oppose this, and I'm going to share with you why in perhaps a unique way. Same old story, different day. For 8 years now I've heard you say, schools are broke, can't save a dime. It's the day common sense died. And they were singing, bye-bye, my rainy day pie. Drove my school kids in their buses to this special session fry. And them good old lobbyists are toasting champagne and wine, saying, today we killed the rainy day pie. Spend it all, no rainy day pie. So come on, we could have saved it in a rainy day fund to help our schools when recession comes. But you won't look on down that road. It's the day common sense died. And the three things I hold dear the most, my principles, passion, common sense. They just took the last train to the Portland coast. It's the day common sense died. And they were singing, bye-bye, my rainy day pie. Drove my school kids in their buses to the special session fry. And them good old lobbyists are toasting champagne and wine, saying, today we killed the rainy day pie. Spend it all on a rainy day pie. And that's why I'm voting no.
Further discussion? Representative March.
Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Are you going to sing? Are you going to sing your...
I love this institution too much to sing. Colleagues, I rise in support of this bill. This is a small, if positive, step for Oregon schools, and that's all of Oregon schools. We realize, of course, that this isn't a permanent fix. It's a one-time fix. It's a safe bet. Lottery money came in higher this time than our projected revenues. There are a lot of other revenues that are higher. For example, corporate revenues, and if you want to talk rainy day funds, we should probably be talking about those, the corporate kicker and corporate revenues, but that's not the bill before us. The bill before us is a small temporary fix for all schools in Oregon. It's a good thing to do, and I urge your support. Thank you very much.
Further discussion, Representative Kopp.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, the unexpected windfall from the Oregon Lottery presents this legislature with the unique opportunity to provide additional funding for our schools without any drastic cuts in any other areas of the budget or by raising taxes a single cent. I come to this legislature having first been blessed with the opportunity to work in every facet of public schools, from a school board member to a cook, to a teacher, to a principal. These budget figures that are being debated today are more than numbers to me. They reflect opportunities to improve the educational lives of students in my district and around the state. In Jervis, the roughly $100,000 our school district can receive will be used to purchase two portable classrooms. One will be used for the music classes at Eldridge Elementary that are currently being held in the gym. This will allow PE and music to both be taught. PE has not been part of their daily curriculum, and now it can be. In Woodburn, the roughly $430,000 that the school district might receive under this plan can be used to pay down the debt that the district has accrued when it had to borrow money to pay for additional classrooms at the elementary level and the high school level to accommodate our rapid growth in our schools. Finally, the $2.9 million the Salem-Keizer School District stands to gain is being recommended by Superintendent Kay Baker on Monday to buy new social studies textbooks for those future legislators in the beginning for their high school and implement a new reading program at the middle schools to improve their test scores. There will be still some money left to address overcrowding issues in some of their schools. I have one last request and dream for all of us for the additional funding to be targeted for our talented and gifted students in our state. These are students that people tend to think can survive no matter what happens. It would be incredible if we are supporting all of our students, just not a few people that we think are in need. We want to improve the educational lives of all of us, for them and for our future. I ask for your support of this bill.
Further discussion, Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Question to the carrier.
Question to the carrier, do you?
Definitely.
She does?
Thank you. Good representative. Perhaps I should have the good representative who formerly sang to sing, "Where, oh, where has the equity in the formula gone?" And I wonder if you could tell us if this $42 million will be appropriated equitably, not in the usual, more to the metropolitan area than it is to the rural areas.
To the good speaker from Woodburn, the The funding will be appropriated according to the funding formula in the state, with the exclusion of the ESDs. They will get none of this revenue, but otherwise the money will be distributed according to the ADMW in each of the districts and the funding formula that the state has used consistently.
Follow-up question, Madam Speaker.
Follow-up, do you yield?
Yes,
she does.
The speaker is from Yamhill County, District 24, but I like Woodburn. Could I please ask you, what is that formula per student? What is that amount we will all get per student?
To the good representative from Yamhill County, the money varies very slightly, and it is between about $62 and $64 or $65 per student.
See no one else?
Thank you. Thank you. See no one else in the queue. Representative Morgan, do you wish to close?
She does not. Those.
Well, Representative Scott.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I move that in compliance with Article 4, Section 19 of the Oregon Constitution, and notwithstanding any provisions of the special session rules of the House of Representatives of the 73rd Legislative Assembly, the requirement that on its final passage each bill shall be read section by section be suspended for the duration of this special session of the 73rd Legislative Assembly, and that all bills pending before the House for final passage during this special session be read by title only.
Representative Scott moves that in compliance with Article 4, Section 19 of the Oregon Constitution, and notwithstanding any provision of the special session rules of the House of Representatives of the 73rd Legislative Assembly, requirement that on its final passage each bill shall read section by section be suspended for this special session of the 73rd Legislative Assembly, and that all bills pending before the House for final passage during the special session be read by title only. Those of the opinion that the requirement that all bills be read section by section should be suspended will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion adopted. Provision is. Those who have the opinion that House Bill 3510 should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. House Bill 3510, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Question now rises upon third. Clerk, read the next bill. Sorry.
House Bill 3511, related to sex offenses and declaring an emergency.
Question now rises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 3511. Representative Patty Smith.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues, today, the good representative Jeff Barker and I bring you House Bill 3511, a repeat of House Bill 3507 that we passed last session. I just can't tell you how excited I am to be here and present this bill. I think it is well past the time when it should have passed and needs to pass. This is the mandatory minimum sentence. It's named after Jessica Lunsford in Florida. And we've had plenty of Jessica Lunsfords, so it's time we enact this bill. And it increases the sentences from 8.5 years to 25 years for mandatory minimums for sex of predators. And if the adult is over 18 that perpetrates or predatory on the child under 12, so that means 11 years old and under, there isn't any way this is acceptable in Oregon. We have to protect Oregon's children. So I'm very pleased to bring you this bill. And Representative Barker, would you like to? Representative Barker.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'm going to try to keep this brief because we have a lot to do today, but I just want to point out one other thing. These bills sometimes float around, these laws, for some time before we ever get to see them, and we did have this on the floor earlier, but in the previous session, the good representative from Yamhill County, Donna Nelson, brought forth a bill like this before, and I want to give her credit for helping open the door to get this through. Now, colleagues, House Bill 3511 does increase mandatory minimum sentencing when an adult defendant is convicted of rape in the first degree, sodomy in the first degree, unlawful sexual penetration in the first degree, or kidnapping in the first degree in furtherance of the assault, and the victim is under 12. So at the time of the crime, the perpetrator has to be 18, the victim 11 or younger. This does raise the minimum sentence to 300 months or 25 years instead of 8.5 years. Additionally, under House Bill 3511, when a felon is released from prison, they must serve a term of post-prison supervision for the rest of their lives. This will include 10 years of active supervision and then tracking for the remainder of their lives. This bill authorizes Oregon counties to attach electronic devices as a means of tracking. As most of you know, this bill was inspired by the Jessica Lunford Act enacted by the Florida legislature last year. Jessica was a 9-year-old girl who was abducted from her home, molested, and killed by a sex offender who was residing in a place where he was not registered to stay, despite Florida law. As you consider this legislation today, I ask you to consider three things. First, we are talking about horrific brutality that will continue to haunt these young victims their whole lives. They and their families deserve justice. Second, we know that violent sex offenders have a high recidivism rate. A longer prison sentence followed by lifetime supervision as called for in House Bill 3511 will help us keep our kids safe. Last, I understand that some of you have concerns about the cost of this legislation. Legislative Fistel says the cost of House Bill 3511 is currently indeterminate. I do appreciate that we as a body have other financial obligations to consider. Nevertheless, colleagues, this legislation will help protect children from a terrible, life-altering crime, and I believe that the cost is justified. Further, I want to remind you that the cost of trying to heal a victim of violent sexual assault cannot be calculated by fiscal either. But all too often, we must consider the cost of alcohol or drug recovery, the cost of psychological care of the victim that the victim's going to need, and sadly, the cost to society if the victim's life takes a turn and they become involved in crime, especially if they too become sex offenders. By locking these violent sex offenders up and tracking them, we will save many, many more potential victims, and any cost of incarceration pales to the cost to those victims. Please join me in supporting House Bill 3511.
Further discussion, Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Speaker, to the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I rise because we are in a new era. We are now asking our victims, as my button states, to stand up and speak out. You must, to protect yourself and others. If abuse exists in any phase, in any home, you need to speak out. Now, I'd like to quickly relate one story. The story that we just heard last week is one very brave individual stood up and spoke out to bring attention to this bill so that the public would pass it. Prior to the age of 12, she was sexually abused 3 times. At the age of 12, someone entered her home. She was sleeping with her mother, put a knife to her throat, and said, "If you wake your mother's life is in danger." Took her to her kitchen, bound her and gagged her, and took her while her 2 brothers slept on either side of the kitchen. Took her to a cabin within 30 miles of this capital city and kept her for 4 days, abusing her sexually, brutally, for 4 days. On the 4th day, For some unknown reason, the perpetrator left shortly. She was released from her bonds, ran from this cabin, grabbed the keys of the car, and kept running till she came to a farmhouse. She had heard the helicopter circling over this location for these 3 days. And this farm, at this farmhouse, this wife, this mother, recognized her from pictures on our television. The reason I tell you that story is, we're not just talking about those who will abuse in the future. Take this one. This man is free today. This man was the natural father of this little girl. He is here in Salem. The victim is 30 miles away in McMinnville. What protection has she from this man? At the age of 18, as she left college in Idaho, her father, after only 5 years in prison, met her at a bus stop. And this brave woman who stood up and spoke out said, "You'll never hurt me again. I'm speaking out." Well, I praise God for that young lady who had the courage, because others will be that courageous. And we have many examples of this over and over again. Not only are these perpetrators unhealed themselves and will never be rehabilitated, the victim never, ever, ever heals. Never, ever heals. He still, or she still, depending on who the perpetrator is, will maybe get 25 years. But this little girl is in Yamhill County. This three-month-old baby girl, 3 months old, will have trauma the rest of her days. These unconscionable individuals with no conscience, only self-satisfying motives, must be put away. And we can't wait 2 more years. Because we will have a multitude, not just the thousands now. We have like this little girl's father who is here free because the laws allowed them to run free. We have thousands of those all over the state. Can your grandchildren drive around your block on their bikes now without you worrying? No. Let's reclaim our neighborhoods. Let's reclaim Oregon. And let's punish. Let's love justice and have mercy on the victims. Thank you for voting yes on this bill.
Further discussion? Representative Galizio. Representative Scott, will you come to the dais, please?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Sometimes we rise above our differences to come together to do what's right, and that's what this legislation is about today. It's about making sure that our most vulnerable Oregonians, our children, receive the basic protection that they deserve. I supported this law last year, and I'm grateful that we can assemble here today to get this done. You know, from this vantage point on the House floor, especially in an election year, it's easy to look out and see Republicans and Democrats, rural and urban legislators, conservatives and liberals. However, today, when I look out on this House floor, I see mothers, fathers, grandmothers, grandfathers, aunts, uncles, family members who are concerned about the well-being of their relatives, and people who are concerned about the safety of the children in their communities. Now, ensuring that we have tough penalties for these horrible crimes is important. But I'm sure I speak for many in this building when I say I look forward to coming here next session, and I mean January of 2007 and no sooner, and getting a chance to see the ideas that Representative Krieger and Senator Burdick have been working on in their respective Judiciary Committee hearings on ways to keep these crimes from occurring in the first place. All of us understand that being proactive and working on prevention is absolutely critical, since one victim of these horrific crimes is one too many. This bill marks an important first step in working toward protecting our children, and I urge an aye vote.
Further discussion, Representative Cameron.
Thank you, Madam Speaker.
To the bill.
To the bill. Colleagues, I rise today to mention just a couple of brief words in support of this bill. Senate Bill 1063, May 12th, 2005, House Bill 3507, July 19th, 2005. I urge your aye vote. We've done it once before, and it's about time that this bill gets signed into law for the children of the state of Oregon.
Seeing no one else in the queue, Representative Smith, do you wish to close?
Yes, I do, Madam Speaker. Thank you. Thank you to everyone who spoke for this bill and who is going to vote for this bill. This is an important bill that we need to do to protect Oregon's children. So I think there can't be anything greater than protecting anyone from this ever happening to them. I can't imagine what the parents and families must go through when they've been victimized, let alone the victim. It's just a horrible crime. We need to step up, and I am proud to do that as a policymaker for the state of Oregon. So I urge your aye vote.
Those who have the opinion, the bill should pass. So vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Escobar, how do you vote? Escobar votes aye. House Bill 3511, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Representative Cromwell.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Point of personal privilege.
State your point.
On the bill, House Bill 3510, I failed to rise and declare a potential conflict of interest. I'd like to do that now, please.
State your conflict.
I work for a school that will benefit from the money that is being distributed from House Bill 3510, so I would like to just declare a potential conflict of interest for that reason.
Duly noted. Thank you, Representative. Representative Nelson, you're in the queue.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I, too, need to express a conflict of interest because I'm a teacher.
So noted. Thank you. Colleagues, we are waiting for bills to come over from the Senate. So until we get some, we will stand in recess. The bells will ring when we have some, or at ease. We are standing at ease until the bells ring. So just listen for the bells. When you hear the bells ring, please come to the floor immediately. With that, we're at ease. Clerk will call the roll.
Ackerman. Ackerman Anderson. Anderson Avakian. Barker. Barnhart. Barnhart Berger. Berger Beyer. Boone. Boone Boquist. Brown. Brown Bruin. Bruin Buckley. Burley. Burley Butler. Butler Cameron. Dallum. Dallum Dalto, Dalto Dingfelder, Dingfelder Esquivel, Esquivel Farr, Farr Flores, Flores Galizio, Gerard, Gelser, Gilman, Greenlick, Hannah, Hansen, Hansen Haas, Holvey, Hunt, Hunt Jensen, Kitz, Kitz Comp, Krieger, Krupp, Krupp Krummel, Krummel Lim, Lim McPherson, March, Merkley, Merkley Morgan, Nelson, Nolan, Nolan Olson, Richardson, Richardson Riley, Roblin, Rosenbaum, Schaffler, Schaffler Scott, Shields, Greg Smith, Patty Smith, Sumner, Sumner Thatcher, Tomei, Wisnet, Wisnet Witt, Speaker Minnis, not answering, Barnhart, Berger, Brown, Burley, Butler, Gallum, Dalto, Dingfelder, Esquivel, Farr, Flores, Hansen, Hunt, Kitts, Krupp, Krummel, Lim, Merkley, Nolan, Richardson, Schaffler, Sumner, Wisnet.
Colleagues, when we recess, we are under propositions and motions. Messages from the Senate.
Madam Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform you the Senate has passed Senate Bill 5644.
Chair, a question is consent to temporarily advance to the order of business of first reading of Senate bills. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 5644 relating to State Financial Administration appropriate money and declaring an emergency.
Speaker will be referring to House or Senate Bill 5644 to the Joint Committee on Special Session. Chair requests unanimous consent to temporarily advance to the... to return... Say that again. Chair, request unanimous consent to temporarily turn to the order of business of a special committee reports. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Your committee on special session committee, to whom was referred Senate Bill 5644, having had the same under consideration, respectfully reports that back recommended do pass.
Chair, request unanimous consent to temporarily advance to the order of reading of second reading of Senate bills. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. The clerk will read the bill. Oh, Chair, request unanimous consent to temporarily advance or return to the order of business of third reading. Nope. I've never done this before. It's a special session. Stand at ease. Okay. Chair requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and Senate Bill 5644 be read second time immediately. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Senate Bill 5644 relating to State Financial Administration appropriate money declaring an emergency.
Bills read second time or passed third reading. Chair requests unanimous consent that temporarily advance to third reading of Senate bills. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Chair requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and Senate Bill 5644 be read third time immediately. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Clerk, read the bill.
Senate Bill 5644 relating to State Financial Administration appropriated money and declaring an emergency.
Question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 5644, Representative Richardson.
Madam Speaker, members of the House, Representative Avakian and I recommend to you Senate Bill 5644, which adjusts appropriations and expenditure limitations for the State School Fund, the Department of Human Services, and the Emergency Board. Senate Bill 5644 has five provisions. First, the bill increases the Department of Education's lottery fund expenditure limitation and the State School Fund's second year spending cap by $42.2 million. This allows the lottery fund allocated in House Bill 3510 to be distributed to all school districts in the state for the upcoming school year. Second, the bill appropriates $53 million general fund to the Department of Human Services with related adjustments in other funds, federal funds, and position authority. The $53 million will backfill a number of other fund and federal fund revenue shortfalls, adding funding for child welfare and vocational rehabilitation services and staff, and increased funding for the Children's Health Insurance Plan. The $53 million does not fully fund the projected Oregon Health Plan caseloads and costs or services for people with developmental disabilities, and DHS is expected to present an updated budget rebalance plan to the Emergency Board in November. Third, this bill directs $83.3 million of general fund to the Emergency Board as a special purpose appropriation for DHS caseloads, cost per case, and program needs. The Emergency Board can allocate the $83.3 million special purpose appropriation, if needed, at the November Emergency Board meeting. Fourth, the bill disappropriates the $1.1 million balance set aside for the Family Health Insurance Assistance Program, which will be used to benefit the State Children's Health Insurance Program. And finally, the $130 million special purpose appropriation for state employee compensation charges is reduced by $9 million based on updated estimates for the 2005-07 costs to fully cover state employee salary benefit charge changes. In other words, there is $9 million more than what would be necessary, and so that money will be disappropriated so that it can be used to do this backfill that's the basis for Senate Bill 5644. The committee recommends approval of Senate Bill 5644.
Representative Buckingham.
The bill has a related budget note that recognizes that the Department of Human Services is working with the Department of Administrative Services the Treasurer's Office, and others to review the financial management of the operations in DHS. Now, that review will assess the strengths, the weaknesses, and recommended improvements in various administrative areas of the Department. In accordance with the budget note, the Department is to report to the Emergency Board in June of 06 with the final draft of the Department's finance management plan. The Department is then to report at each subsequent meeting of the Emergency Board during the 05-07 interim and then to the 07 legislature on its progress in meeting the plan's recommendations and timelines. And then the Department is expected to make recommendations to the 07 legislature as needed for statutory changes or budget initiatives. With that, your Joint Committee recommends approval of Senate Bill 5644.
Further discussion, Representative Butler.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues, we're doing some really important work this session, this special session today, and taking care of education and taking care of some folks that are unable to see after their own needs. But I'm concerned that the use of some of these funds that are backfilling human services were dedicated for other kinds of things that will basically not be addressed. We won't be able to address the kinds of things that we were actually setting aside some of these funds for. And I speak now specifically to the Oregon University system and the tough times that they're having. I think we've all been aware of the fact that these folks can't raise their tuitions. If they had the ability to raise their tuitions very, very slightly, they could have backfill of some of the funds that they were counting on. We're moving money out of accounts that the university system was counting on for their own needs. Now, the biennium that's facing us, the next biennium, we're going to have to take some action to productively return our university system back to a degree of excellence which we have been long known for in this state. So while I support the actions of this bill, I believe that our universities have serious shortfalls and other needs which funds were set aside to assist the university systems as well as all public employees that are state employees in this process. And while I recognize that we may not be able to accomplish that task at this time, I'm really hopeful that we'll continue to look at the universities and the university systems before the biennium is over, and there are other special purpose appropriation funds that could be released early to our university systems to get them through this hump, and I would encourage us to support the emergency board process to make sure that those funds are released in a more timely fashion to the universities, because the SPA, the special purpose appropriation money, that they were counting on a portion of this to bridge part of their current operation obligations to their employees, is now no longer available to them. So I just would encourage us to stop for a moment and think of what it is that we invest in long-term in Oregon. We're investing in education long-term in Oregon. But we are doing that for K-12, and we shouldn't be doing that to the exclusion of K-20. Thank you, colleagues.
Further discussion, Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I rise in support of this bill, to the bill. I think this is a carefully measured response to a very complicated problem that is both ongoing and maybe changing somewhat in its dimensions. So by empowering the emergency board to patiently look to the solutions for this problem, I think is wise public policy. I'd just like to say, though, there are two particular issues I hope the emergency board pays close attention to, and that's parity for the AAAs and the further assistance to our senior Oregonians in helping to implement the Medicaid and Medicare Part D drug coverage programs. These are incredibly complicated for our senior citizens. The emergency board has already taken steps to continue some of the help that people need and are getting, and I hope that that can continue. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Further discussion? Representative Gelser. Thank you, Madam Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
It is critical that we fill the DHS budget gap, which will allow the department to meet the very real needs of vulnerable Oregonians. However, I'm concerned that we pause to consider that our actions today may exacerbate the challenges faced by our colleges and universities. Oregon State University officials tell me that moving the $9 million special appropriation for salaries into the DHS budget will result in approximately $1.5 million in program reductions on the Corvallis campus alone. This is on top of the 5% across-the-board reductions the university was already making to build a balanced budget from for their 05-07 allocation. While there may be savings coming from health and retirement benefit projections, these savings will not be enough to fill the gap for the Oregon University system created by increased energy and personnel costs. Strong community colleges and universities are the building blocks of a healthy economy. We must do everything we can to protect our investment in higher education so that more Oregonians can achieve prosperity and our economy can continue to grow. This means that if the full $9 million is not ultimately needed to address critical issues in the Department of Human Services, we should do everything in our power to direct those unspent dollars back into our university system. I will be voting in favor of this bill because it is critical to protecting the health and safety of thousands of needy Oregonians, and it extends health care coverage to children who need it. However, recognizing the additional hardship brought to higher education through this very necessary action has renewed my commitment to adequately support our higher education system in the 2007 session. I hope you will all join me as we seek to improve our investment in our future and economy through our university and community college systems. Thank you. Further discussion, Representative Nelson.
Thank you to the bill.
To the bill.
I just want to express a wish. We had two bills in the last session. One was that we consider dividing the Department of Health and Human Services into four divisions. The second was that we have legislative oversight of each one of those divisions. Third was taken care of really previously, the session prior, when we authorized DHS to hire private enterprise to help collect receivables because we had some $200 million of receivables out. When the issue came up this year that we had another problem in Health and Human Services, we were promised to get a report immediately on receivables. We've not done so yet. So I would just like to encourage the emergency board. I understand the need for these monies, but I also think we have a responsibility to our constituents, to our bankers, our taxpayers, and that we consider these three items again prior to appropriating money through the emergency board.
Further discussion, Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, when we first became aware of issues with shortfalls in the DHS budget towards the beginning of this year, the topics fairly quickly turned to the business side functioning of the agency and the need that appeared to be very apparent at that stage of discussion to beef up the way that the accounting part of the agency and the budget part of the agency interacted with the program delivery side of the agency to try to give the people of Oregon a better look at how that agency was performing. I'm very pleased to report to you that the director has responded very vigorously to that discussion from this body, and since the first of the year, there's been a very robust group of folks from the Department of Treasury and the Department of Administrative Services and the Department of Human Services that have taken a look at the what I call the business side function of the agency and have analyzed deficiencies in it and identified places that it needs to be beefed up and developed,
and put those needs on a timeline. And that's what we've asked them to come to the e-board and come to the 07 legislature and keep us apprised of. I think that we have a clear obligation to keep the agency on the timeline for the implementation of the plan that they have put in place to beef up the business side function of the agency. I think that will make service delivery a lot more efficient, and the people of Oregon will be well served by that. I want to just express my appreciation and my support for the department and for DAS and for Treasury in the efforts that they've undertaken, and look forward to watching the plan unfold on time.
Further discussion? Seeing no one else in the queue, Representative Richardson, would you care to close?
Yes, Madam Speaker. The essence of this special session is Senate Bill 5644. The reason that we're here is because there is a $136 million shortfall that must be addressed. This bill addresses that shortfall. The shortfall was caused by a combination of factors: increased caseloads, increased costs for the providing of benefits, a federal match rate that was changed by the federal government that will affect the last three quarters of this biennium, and revenue shortfalls and cost allocations that weren't anticipated. We have the opportunity to solve this problem by merely passing this bill. Now, there's been some concern about the $9 million that would be disappropriated. Now, I don't know where a university of all groups would be saying if that $9 million, which was part of a fund that was to pay for negotiated benefits, somehow that's going to get transferred into some other column. I mean, the mere fact that you have some money sitting in the end of a bank, in a bank account that doesn't get spent, doesn't mean that it just gets moved to someplace else because someone else would like to use it on a program. I mean, obviously that's not the case. This is money that we're disappropriating from a budgeted column because it's not going to be needed there. And it is needed to help the children in the children, adults, and families, to help the seniors in the seniors and people with disabilities, and to help our public needs in our public safety divisions. This is money that is needed, and we have the opportunity to provide it. We have the resources. We're grateful that we do. There will be no cuts in programs, and we can now get through to the next session to where we can analyze the needs of other programs and other uses of money in a more detailed and committee-driven manner. But for today, we're here in this special session to help solve this problem. We have the funds, we have the vehicle, and we just now need the vote. Please vote aye on Senate Bill 5644.
Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Hunt, how do you vote? Representative Hunt. Representative Hunt is off the floor. Everyone has voted. House Bill, Senate Bill 5644, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. We will be standing at ease. colleagues, the Senate's got three more speakers on their next bill, so we probably have about 15 minutes. If you need to leave the floor, don't leave for long. Please come back. We don't have the regular session staff to go chase you down, so if you will stay close, that'd be helpful. So then we'll stand at ease.
Barnhart Burger, Burger Buyer, Boone, Boquist, Boquist Brown, Brown Bruin, Buckley, Burley, Butler, Cameron, Cameron Dallum, Dallum Dalto, Dalto Dingfelder, Esquivel, Farr, Flores, Galizio, Garrard, Gelser, Gilman, Greenlick, Hannah, Hansen, Haas, Haas Holvey, Hunt, Jensen, Jensen Kitts, Kitts Comp, Krieger, Krieger Krupp, Krupp Crummel, Lim, McPherson, March, Merkley, Merkley Morgan, Nelson, Nolan, Olson, Richardson, Riley, Roblin, Rosenbaum, Schaffler, Schaffler Scott, Scott Shields, Greg Smith, Patty Smith, Sumner, Thatcher, Tomei, Tomei Wisnet, Witt, Speaker Minnis, not answering, Barker, Barnhart, Berger, Boquist, Cameron, Dallum, Dalto, Haas, Jensen, Kitts, Krupp, Merkley, Schaffler, Scott, Tomei.
Colleagues, when we adjourn, we are under propositions and motions. Messages from the Senate.
Madam Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform the Senate is passed. Senate Bill 1105.
Chair question, analyst consent to temporarily advance to the order of business of first reading of Senate bills. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 1105, relating to payday loans.
First reading of Senate bills. Bills read first time are referred to the Joint Special Session Committee. Chair request unanimous consent to temporarily return to the order of business of special committee reports. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Clerk will read the report.
Madam Speaker, your committee on special session committee to whom was referred Senate Bill 1105, having had the same under consideration, respectfully reports that background committee do pass.
Chair request unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and Senate Bill 1105 be read second time immediately. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Chair request unanimous consent to temporarily advance to the second reading of Senate bills. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Senate Bill 1105 related to payday loans.
Bills read second time or passed the third reading. Third reading of Senate bills. Chair request unanimous to temporarily advance to the order of third reading of Senate bills. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Clerk will read the bill. Chair request unanimous consent that Senate Bill 1105 be read immediately. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 1105 relating to payday loans.
Question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 1105. Senator Farr, Representative Farr.
Thank you, Madam Speaker, for the promotion. Colleagues, today we have the opportunity to do the right thing. Some of you in this chamber believe that Senate Bill 1105 goes too far. Many of you believe that the bill goes just far enough. Still others might trivialize the magnitude of this issue that affects real people on both sides by politicizing it. Ladies and gentlemen, let's not talk about what we didn't do. Let's talk about what we will do. As chair of the House Business, Labor, and Consumer Affairs Subcommittee on Payday Lending, I have heard testimony at two public hearings, most recently in Eugene Tuesday evening, testimony that demonstrated that without the regulations adopted in most other states and with an increasingly needy population, payday lending has become a very profitable industry. With a remarkable growth rate in the number of stores from 184 in 2001 to 360 by the end of 2005, and the volume of loans increasing to $250 million in 2004, the numbers speak for themselves. We have all read or have heard directly from our constituents that many people have, because of their desperate circumstances, taken out high-interest loans that have made their circumstances even more desperate. Currently in Oregon, a payday lending institution charges an average of $18 per 100 borrowed with three allowed rollovers. The average term is 14 days. On a $300 loan with three rollovers, a consumer would pay $216 in interest. That is a 469% annual percentage rate. To quote the Reverend Dan Bryant, president of Ecumenical Ministries, from the many stories of those who have been trapped by the promise of easy credit during times of financial crisis, often unaware of the astronomical fees that credit would cost them in the end, it is clear that reform in Oregon is desperately needed. Senate Bill 1105 provides that reform. First, it limits the total interest and fees that payday lenders may charge. The limit specified is a combination of a one-time 10% origination fee plus up to a 36% annual percentage interest rate. The bill also requires that the term of payday loans be at least 31 days. This minimum loan period applies to the original loan and to each renewal or rollover. Current law does not limit fees or interest that may be charged by payday lenders and does not specify a minimum loan term. The bill reduces the number of allowed rollovers from the current limit of three down to two. It prohibits lenders from making new payday loans to borrowers within 7 days of the expiration of any previous payday loan. It also limits the payday lender's fees for dishonored or insufficient fund checks to $20 per loan in addition to any fee charged to the lender by the borrower's bank. As you know, this bill is patterned after a proposed statewide initiative, and though there are differences in the wording of several provisions, they are intended to clarify, not to substantively change, the provisions of the initiative as written. You are, in effect, voting on a 13% rate cap for the first month of a loan, or 153% expressed as an annual percentage rate. This would be a $26 fee for a $200 loan for a month. An important point made by a representative of payday lenders is that we benefit from fixed location loan outlets that can be regulated and monitored effectively by the state. We don't want to drive payday lenders out of the state or to devise ways to skirt or break the law. With an effective date for implementation of Senate Bill 1105 for July 2007, the legislature can enact additional laws during the next regular session that provide other needed protections for consumers that will also benefit the industry. The Department of Consumer and Business Services presented some recommended legislation to the committee that will crack down on Internet lenders that operate out of state or offshore so that they are forced to comply with state law if they want to make loans to Oregonians. This will level the playing field for lenders located in Oregon who must play by the rules. In addition, six states have legislatively adopted the creation of a data system that tracks the number and dollar amount of payday loans by consumers. The committee heard a presentation from a data company located in Florida where the first such database was created. It has not only reduced the level of debt that borrowers are allowed to take on, but has also reduced the loss that occurs when the industry is unable to collect on a loan. And with the provision in Senate Bill 1105 that prohibits lenders from making a new payday loan within 7 days of the expiration of any previous loan, a tracking system is imperative. The typical cost per book loan is $1, with approximately 50 cents going to the data company, the cost of which can be passed on to the consumer. While many of the effects of the bill are debatable, one thing we know. Passing this bill today will negate the need for a petition signature drive and expensive campaign for both proponents and opponents this fall. And the effective date is delayed enough to allow us to work out any potential problems in order to make the law workable for the industry and for consumers. I would like to close with the same from the Book of Proverbs. If you make money by charging high interest rates, you will lose it all to someone who cares for the poor. Colleagues, let's do the right thing. Please join me in voting aye.
Representative Shopler.
Speaker, one would hope we always do the right thing here. I rise today to urge you all to support this bill. I was on the chair with the good representative from Eugene, and we had a couple hearings, one here and one in Corvallis, and some concerns came up, and we're trying to help working families here that find themselves in a bind. That's the whole intent behind this bill. I just want to share some concerns that were shared with us. Where are folks that need short-term financial help going to go if, and there's nothing proven, shown to me any evidence yet, that these industries will dry up, but if they do, some of the concerns that were shared with us were folks will just be go right across the river in my town. They will turn to the internet, which is not regulated, and turn worse yet to a loan shark. And I think those are real concerns. And even if we shut down every single payday lender in the state of Oregon, we're still not getting to the root of the problem here. And I shared this in committee. We need to start off by educating our children to be fiscally responsible. And we need to provide some kind of financial counseling to those that find themselves in a financial bind. But more importantly, I really have to stress this again. And I've said it time and time again. We need to create and shape policy in this state that attracts and retains investment in the state so we can create the family wage jobs that will prevent people from getting in this position. And that, in turn, will generate all the revenue we're going to need to educate, medicate, incarcerate here in the state of Oregon. And we have a lot of work to do there. But once again, I have to say, there were 750,000 of these transactions made last year. These businesses were popped up like mushrooms all through southeast Portland. There's a reason for that. There's a demand for this. What are we doing about that? That, I think, is a question we need to ask. And there's a lot of good things we can do to at least, maybe we'll never completely solve it, but to address that problem and the challenges that poor working families are facing here in the state of Oregon. Give them a good education. Give folks the opportunity, give them the skills, give them opportunity to learn the skills to compete in an increasingly more competitive labor market so they can go out and make a living and avoid needing this kind of financial help. I urge your vote, and thank you very much.
Further discussion, Representative Scott.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues, we should come clean about what we're doing today. This bill isn't not about protecting poor and vulnerable Oregonians. Let's be honest. We're here to put an industry out of business. We are about to doom many honest business men and women to failure. We're about to put thousands of people out of work, taxpayers who, prior to today, had good-paying jobs and benefits. We're about to destroy an industry but broke no laws. The only mistake was offering a service that many Oregonians demand and need. In 2004, about 750,000 Oregonians received these loans from 324 outlets that are licensed in the state of Oregon for a little over $250 million. There were, in the total, 6 violation complaints out of 750,000. 6 complaints. Colleagues, this bill is not going to save Oregonians from themselves. Many more Oregonians who live paycheck to paycheck will still have to keep their lights on. They will still need to pay their rent. They will still need to make their car payments so that they can get to work and to pay their taxes so that we can distribute it to the good services. This bill is not going to help them. In fact, it's going to hurt them. Rather than taking out a payday loan at 500% APR, they get the opportunity to write a bad check. And the 7-day cooling off period will result in more bounced checks. Between banking and merchant fees, they get the pleasure of paying about 1,000% APR to settle their debt. Or they'll be forced to use the credit cards, if they even qualify for a credit. They can hope that they can make the payments on time. But if they don't, they will get the opportunity to pay a little over 600% APR after they've converted and covered the late fees that are associated with it. Or they have another opportunity. They can simply let the lights be turned off. If they do that, it'll be over 1,000 APR after they paid their bill and paid for the reconnect fee. Colleagues, this bill eliminates an option that keeps people from the brink of financial ruin. The payday loan industry, which we will put out of business today, typically does not check credit histories or those who seek their services. After the industry is gone, where will people go? Will they go to charity? Will they go to the pawnbroker to hawk their personal belongings? Will they turn to the government? If the answer to those is yes, tell me where they can go for 750,000 times. The fact is, after this bill's done its damage, people will have a lot fewer places to turn. I think this bill sends a message to Oregonians. By passing this bill today, we are telling the people that we don't trust, nor do we believe, that they can make decisions for themselves. We're telling people not to bother opening a business in this state. Because frankly, if we get on the wrong side of the newspaper editorial boards, the legislature is going to come and shut them down. Colleagues, we should come clean what we're really doing today. We're not passing the bill to protect people. We are passing the bill to protect ourselves.
Representative Sumner yields.
This bill will make good press release and a good soundbite for you tonight. But it's not good policy. This bill was not drafted by the Legislative Council, but by groups outside of this process. There are still many unanswered questions. For example, if the loan origination fee earned at the time the loan is made, and is it non-refundable? Is the interest charged earned at the time the loan is made and not refundable? We all know that many Oregonians that have responsibly used payday lenders. Remember, there were only 6 complaints out of 750,000. They've done this in the past. Will now seek loans from other sources. They will now be more title loans, which means the vehicle is security. There is no security on a payday transaction. There will be more internet payday loans, which DCBS will tell you are growing and unregulated. Is this good policy? We are voting on a bill that will eliminate 70% of the industry's revenues. Today we're preparing to shut down an industry and put people out of work. Today we are eliminating a financial option for the average hard-working Oregonian. That's what we're really doing today.
Further discussion, Representative Dingfelder.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I rise in support of Senate Bill 1105. And as you've heard already here today, this bill addresses a problem that impacts Oregon families from all walks of life and every corner of the state. Through our actions here today, we can clearly demonstrate to our constituents that this legislature is capable of setting aside partisan differences and working together for a meaningful compromise. Regardless of whether you represent an urban district like mine or a rural community like many of you, many Oregonians have been forced out of necessity to turn to payday loans as a means of paying their rent, buying their prescription drugs, or ensuring that their heat stays on during the winter. Making it easier for families to pay their bills without incurring onerous debt is something that virtually all of us support, regardless of party registration, and that is what this bill is about, colleagues. Senate Bill 1105 is a reasonable compromise that offers relief for hardworking Oregonians and allows payday lenders to continue to operate in Oregon. And as a matter of fact, several other states, many other states, have similar legislation where their businesses are thriving. Those of us who have been working hard for several years to find a compromise on payday loan reforms do not seek to put lenders out of business. We simply want to reach a balance so that Oregonians in need aren't driven by necessity to take out short-term loans that drive them into long-term debt. In addition, this legislation does not limit the ability of Oregonians to take out payday loans. Rather, it increases the odds that customers can pay off their original loan before they incur more fees and higher costs. That's what we're talking about here today, colleagues. And shouldn't we find ways to help more families succeed rather than sitting back and allowing them to fail as we've seen again and again here in Oregon? So this compromise bill establishes some ground rules in a rapidly expanding industry that has seen minimal state oversight or consumer safeguards. So, colleagues, today we should be proud that we're able to come together and address a number of important issues facing the state, including payday loans. This bill will help promote debt fairness for middle and working class Oregonians by reining in predatory lending practices in the state. And I urge your aye vote. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Kitts.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Question to the carrier, if I might.
Question to the carrier. Do you yield? She does.
Representative, first a comment. Thank you for your diligent work on this issue, as I also serve on the Payday Loan Committee with you and applaud you. Representative, there's a cooling off period that's outlined in the bill. Forgive me, I don't have it highlighted. How would we, as a state, or as payday lenders providing this service, how would we keep track of a cooling off period?
Okay.
Well, currently, the way the bill is written, the consumer would be required to sign an affidavit.
Further question?
Another question? Do you yield?
I do.
It does?
Is there anything that the state would consider doing other than just someone's signed affidavit?
Well, one of the reasons for the effective date, July 07, is that during the next regular session, some of those issues could be addressed. And as you heard in my floor speech, I talked about the implementation of a data system, such as Florida and five other states currently have, which would allow a lender to put in a borrower's name and ID number into a central computer system, and then they would know if they had a current loan and what the amount of the loan was.
Thank you. One further question?
Another question. Do you yield?
Gladly.
She does.
Thank you, good representative. Senate Bill 1105, can you tell me how many hearings this bill of this magnitude has received?
There was actually one hearing held on the bill yesterday, but as you know, Tuesday evening at the committee public hearing we had in Eugene, we did have copies of the draft of the bill, and we did hear testimony.
Thank you, good representative. I have no further questions. To the bill?
To the bill.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. And I, too, want to applaud the Speaker for having the foresight to assign an interim task force committee that the good chairwoman from the Eugene area is the chairman of. I do thank you for your foresight on that and addressing this issue. Colleagues, I make note of the database that is created as a result of monitoring these payday loans. What's not being said is the fees that go along with the monitoring of this system. Of the other states that have this system in place, they are given a $5 leeway for to pay the database provider and to pay the state for administrative fees. If you add up to $5 on top of the $10 that is currently charged on a $100 loan during the duration of 2 weeks, that's an additional 130% APR. 130% APR that's not currently there that will be added as a result of the bureaucracy that will be created in order to monitor this program. Colleagues, I will remind you, there were 33 people in this body that voted no on the motion to bring Senate Bill 545 directly to the floor. A bill that had been vetted. It circumvented the process was the reasoning behind voting no. It hadn't been vetted. It hadn't gone through the House side. And now we're voting on a bill that has had but one committee meeting. It's a flawed bill. It's got constitutional issues. And yet, in our haste, we're going to implement this bill that's going to run people out of business. And I think the good majority leader, I've got 11 points that I was going to make, of which the majority leader made 9 of them, so I'm not going to be redundant. But, colleagues, I ask you to think about what it is that we're doing here today. The good representative from Happy Valley says these businesses are popping up all over the place. If there was not a need, the businesses wouldn't pop up. I'm here to argue that says if there are more businesses out there providing this service, they are competing with each other, thus the cost will stay level or go down to gain the business of these people that are in need. By hamstringing one industry that provides short-term loans, you're going to have an escalation of every other industry that does this, or as the majority leader said, writing in non-sufficient funds, because if people need medicine, if people need food, if people have bills to pay, they will find the money somewhere. At least now they can go to a business that's regulated. You walk in, you see right on the wall what the APR is, you know what the terms are, and you sign it. Colleagues, this is bad, bad policy. I am not a defender of the payday loan industry. I'm a defender of the hardworking Oregonian that gets into a pinch and has to go somewhere. They may not have a credit card, they may not have money in their bank, but where are they going to go? 745,711 loans of this kind took place last year. There's a need. With six complaints, there's a need. To most of you that own your own business out here, you'd love to have that response. You'd love to be a legislator and vote on 1,000 bills and have but one complaint. I would. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Riley.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I rise in support of Senate Bill 1105. This important piece of legislation provides a number of safeguards to consumers, ensuring that they won't be taken advantage of by an industry that has for too long gone basically unregulated in Oregon. In practical terms, this bill puts an end to the devastating effects of 500%+ interest rate loans and gives vulnerable Oregonians a chance to avoid the vicious cycle of increasing debt. As an Air Force veteran, I'm especially concerned about our men and women in uniform, and the military has pointed out in many areas the devastating effect that this industry has had on those men and women. Colleagues, let's be honest. Most Oregonians who take out payday loans do it not out of a failure of personal responsibility. They're driven by necessity and circumstances beyond their control. For too many, those circumstances make it impossible to make ends meet at the end of the month. The market does not and cannot protect vulnerable Oregonians from these lenders, which is why the legislature has a responsibility to provide that protection. It's time to start holding this industry accountable for their actions. By approving this legislation, Oregon will join the ranks of 43 other states that have set reasonable limits under which businesses making these loans must operate. We talk about these businesses going out of business if we impose these limits, but our limits are almost exactly like those in Florida, where every year this business increases by 8%. Colleagues, this is a fair bill that finally provides some protection to everyday Oregonians who are driven by necessity and dire, sometimes unimaginable circumstances to take out payday loans. I urge your aye vote. Thank you.
Further discussion. Representative Esquivel.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues.
To the bill.
To the bill. First of all, I signed on this last session on a payday loan bill. This bill, however, that we have in front of us, 1105, in my opinion, should preempt and be a statewide criteria. It lacks right there. The second thing is, there's no way for a lender to pass collection costs back when they have to collect to the consumer, to the person that defaulted. That's a technical part of this bill that makes it not a good bill. Am I there with payday lending control? Yes. Am I there with this bill? No. I think, colleagues, we can do better. And I would hope, and I've been told that this bill will pass, I hope that we come back to the table this next session and write and make this bill correct because it is flawed. I can't, in my own mind, say yes to a bill that I know is not a good bill. If this would have been written different, I would have voted yes. But it hasn't been. I think it's poorly written, and I think there's some real challenges with this bill. So consequently, I'm going to vote no. But I do know that this will probably pass, so I ask you this next session, let's jump in the middle of this thing and let's get it correct. Thank you.
Further discussion. Representative Flores.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Question to the carrier.
Question to the carrier. Do you yield? She does.
Thank you. Just a quick point of clarification, good representative, and as Representative Esquivel just alluded to a preemption provision, certain local areas have provided or passed local ordinances already, and are those local ordinances grandfathered into this bill?
My understanding is the local ordinances are completely separate from this bill because in a recent challenge, the court upheld the city's ability to legislate, or not legislate, but to govern through ordinance. Just 3 points of payday lending that are not included in the bill. One of them is a 25% pay down of principal before the loan can be rolled over. Help me out, Janet. What's the other one? Requiring a payment plan when the borrower has exhausted all of their rollovers.
Just those two?
I stand corrected. Two, not three.
Follow up, do you yield?
I do.
She does? Thank you. For instance, if the city of Portland, which has its own law, decides to add new restrictions, would that then be allowed under this bill?
It depends on what it would be.
If they were to further tighten the requirements as the bill that is before us.
They can't do anything about the bill itself, but they could pass additional ordinances. Yes, that is within their privilege.
To the bill?
To the bill.
Thank you. I just would like to share a couple of comments from a concerned taxpaying citizen businessman that perhaps many of you have seen. He says, in any discussion regarding the payday loan industry, almost always the first thing to come up for censure is the seemingly outrageous rate of interest charged the consumer. When translated into an annual percentage rate, as mandated by law, and as prominently posted in the lobby of virtually every payday lender, that rate of interest is around 500%. Nearly every other topic related to the industry is colored and aggravated by that fact. In fact, the conventional wisdom merely dictates that by itself, the abusive interest charged by payday lenders comes close to justifying almost any regulation that would drive the industry out of existence. But is the interest abusive? Well, the facts say a resounding no, because we're not talking about interest charge, we're talking about service fees, and those charges that are really and truly service fees, if they were found translated by traditional lenders, would be significantly higher. I think that the Representative Scott made reference to that. On a bank service charge, 1,200%. On other things, 1,300%. Both kinds of lenders are really trying to cover their costs and make a profit. We are trying to legislate common sense.
Further discussion? Representative Lim.
Thank you, Madam Speaker.
To the bill?
To the bill.
Thank you.
There are a lot of people in our state who need help, and especially those are the minority groups, and maybe gamblers, maybe drug addicts, desperate in emergency situations. They all need help. I'm rising in support of this Senate 1105. There's no question about it. But this bill is not going to solve the problem. This is a good addition, but I'm hoping after we pass this bill, hopefully we pass, we need to come back and look at this bill again, whether it's going to work or not. I'd like to report to you, Madam Speaker, and to the members of the House, I'm free. When I'm saying free, as a 7-year-old man, I paid all my house loan, so I'm free. I paid my taxes before April 14th. I paid all my three cars, all paid up. I don't have any debt. So I'm free man. When you are in debt, you are sinner in certain senses. When I came to USA 1966, about 39 years and 11 months ago, I landed without a penny in my pocket, nothing. But we were able to make it. This is a great country. This is a land of opportunity. Who are willing to work hard, they can make it. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit distracting. I know that. The message I'm trying to cross at this time, we need to teach our people the value, the hard work. Why do they have to go back to their lenders $100, $200 to get a loan? I didn't go there in my life. Only time I went to get a loan, not the loan, the help, I went to the Salvation Army. When I was struggling as a freshman in my theological seminary, I didn't have any money, so I went over there asking some help. They gave me $5 at the time. I paid back more than 100 times what I got help from the Salvation Army. I needed help when the time I needed. I did janitor work for 3 years. I did house painting for 5 years. And bank messenger boy, whatever you name it, I did it. We need to teach our young children and also the people who are desperately in need such a hard-working value. This is more important, not just passing this law. We think this will solve the problem. It is not. I lament on the situation we are in our country, in our state. How could we teach them such a value? This is more important than anything else. But I distracted a little bit, but I'm here to support Senate Bill 1105. I think this is a good bill. This will help, especially minority and the desperate people. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Seeing no one else in the queue, Representative Shoffler.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Speaker. I just want to clarify two things, please. One, we're not putting anybody out of business today because this doesn't take effect until July 1st of next year. We'll have 6 months in this building to go over any clarifications, any revisions, any amendments, any changes that are going to be beneficial to the people of the state of Oregon. The second thing I'd like to make a comment on and clarify here is I don't know what's in anybody's heart, Madam Speaker. I have no idea why people vote for a lot of things in this room. This bill ain't perfect, and we voted 1,100 times last year. None of them are perfect either. But, Madam Speaker, I will not sit there in my chair and have someone suggest that I, Mike Shoffler, vote for anything in this room for the approval of an editorial page or board or to capture a sound bite. I just wanted to clear that up. Thank you.
Seeing no one else in the queue, Representative Ford, you wish to close.
Yes, I do, Madam Speaker. To the good representative from Clackamas, I want to clarify that NSF fees and credit card rates are regulated through federal charter and cannot be addressed through statute. With the data system, and this is for the good representative from Hillsborough, also a member of the Payday Loan Subcommittee, with the data system, the cost of a booked loan is a dollar on average, with approximately 50 cents going to the data system provider, and that charge could be passed on to the borrower. With additional legislation, we can address that. The other point I wanted to make in closing is that in Florida, which is the next most restrictive state, which allows no rollovers, has seen an 8% growth in the industry annually. And finally, colleagues, in a study that DCBS did of state employees who took out payday loans, 30% of payday borrowers said they did so to buy groceries. So let me ask you this. How can we justify charging $216 for $300 worth of groceries? Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Representative Rosenbaum requests a call of the House. She's joined by Representative Kitts, Representative Hansen, Representative
Buckley and Representative Berger. Doorkeepers will bar the door. Sergeant Adams will attend, and the clerk will call the roll.
Ackerman, Anderson, Avakian, Barker, Barnhart, Berger, Beyer, Boone, Boquist, Brown, Bruin, Buckley, Burley, Butler, Cameron, Gallum, Dalto, Dingfelder, Esquivel, Farr, Flores, Galizio, Garrard, Gelser, Gilman, Greenlicht, Hannah, Hansen Haas, Holby, Hunt, Jensen, Kitts, Comp, Krieger, Krupp, Crummel, Lim, McPherson, March, Merkley, Morgan, Nelson, Nolan, Olson, Richardson, Riley, Roblin, Rosenbaum, Schaffler, Scott, Shields, Greg Smith, Patty Smith, Sumner, Thatcher, Tomei, Wisnett, Witt, Speaker Minnis, not answering, Hansen.
All members are present. Those who have the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Buckley, how do you vote? Aye. Representative Jensen, how do you vote? Jensen votes aye. Representative Morgan, how do you vote? Morgan votes aye. Representative Kitts, how do you vote? Kitts votes no. Representative Scott, how do you vote? Scott votes no. Senate Bill 1105, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Messages from the Senate.
Madam Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform you that the Senate has passed Senate Bill 1106.
Chair, I question unanimous consent to temporarily advance to the order of business first reading of Senate bills. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Senate Bill 1106 relating to school financing prescribing an effective date.
Bills read first time are referred to the Joint Special Session Committee. Chair, I question unanimous consent to temporarily return to the order of business of special committee reports. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Clerk will read the report.
Madam Speaker, your committee on special session committee, to whom was referred Senate Bill 1106, having had the same under consideration, respectfully reports it back recommending do pass.
Chair, I question unanimous consent to temporarily advance to the order of business of second reading of Senate bills. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Chair, we question unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and Senate Bill 1106 be read immediately. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 1106 relating to school financing prescribing an effective date.
Chair, I question unanimous consent to temporarily advance to the order of third reading of Senate bills. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Chair, I question unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and Senate Bill 1106 be read third time immediately. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 1106 relating to school financing prescribing an effective date.
Question now rides upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 1106. Representative Shields. Representative Bruin.
comments.
Public school gap funding authority. Say that three times quick. If passed, this reauthorization allows the elected representative body of the Portland School Board the authority to maintain an existing component of the Portland school revenue structure. Now, colleagues, there has been much discussion and some gnashing of teeth on this bill. Much discussion on what it is and what it is not. Well, let me be clear on what it is not. It is not a tax increase. If it were, I would vote no. What it is this body granting local control for education decisions, granting local control for local elected school district representation, the Portland School Board, to make local decisions based on a host of criteria, including local public input. Control, input, and decisions made by those and for those that it affects. Now, I know that this bill frustrates many of us. Frustrates me, and I'm frustrated because Portland Public Schools, as with all Oregon school districts, continue to suffer from a school funding structure that is uncertain, incomprehensible, and completely void of sagacity. As such, districts like Portland spend the lion's share of their time managing budgets rather than on the reform necessary to make Oregon schools among the world's best. Our vote to reauthorize gap funding will not improve the school funding mess. We have to do that in its own right here. Nor will it provide the reform necessary for Portland schools to compete in the world economy. But in the final analysis, I support this bill because I have confidence in Vicki Phillips. And I believe that this may be a tool to give Vicki Phillips breathing room to focus her energies on fixing 20 years of mismanagement at Portland Public Schools. Colleagues, give her the tools so she can finish the job. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Shields.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To the bill. Madam Speaker and colleagues, I rise today in support of House Bill 1106, the Gap Bond Authority Bill. The underpinnings of this legislation go back nearly a decade. In 1997, Measure 50 set permanent tax rates for each school district, but in the process, it also authorized additional tax collections to help those districts pay their bond obligations. Portland's Gap Bond Authority allowed it to raise 50 cents for every $1,000 of assessed value, and it was originally set to expire in July 2004. In 2003, this body restructured and extended Portland's Gap Bond Authority for 1 year, permitting the district to pursue other local funding options. Now, one of those options, the Multnomah County three-year income tax, passed in 2003. Now that the Multnomah County measure is about to sunset, we must revisit this issue once again. Madam Speaker, extending Portland's Gap Bond Authority will allow Portland schools to raise $15.8 million for the 2006-07 fiscal year. Add to that, $3.4 million Portland Public Schools will receive from the lottery funds distribution, and we can help them cut their $57 million budget shortfall by a third. We don't need new policy to do it. All we have to do is continue the status quo. Action by this body will do nothing to change property tax rates in Portland. That's up to the local school board. They will hold public hearings and then choose to use this tool or not, with all the trappings and all the elements of true representative democracy. They are held accountable to their constituents. If we approve this measure and the Portland School Board takes subsequent action, the property tax rate for schools will be set at $5.27 per $1,000 of assessed value, the same rates residents of Portland paid from 1997 through 2005. In 2009, this bill lowers the district's statutory rate to $4.77 per thousand. But colleagues, this bill is about more than technical jargon and budget shortfalls. It's about more than assessed property values. As a board member of the King Elementary PTA in the very poor King neighborhood in Northeast Portland, I can tell you that this bill has real consequences for real kids. Approving this bill means that 47,000 students will have a safer, nurturing, better learning environment that will produce better educational outcomes. The Portland School District has already taken significant steps to reduce its expenditures and increase its accountability. But today, we in the legislature have an opportunity to help 47,000 kids right now. Please help them. I urge your aye vote on House Bill 1106.
Further discussion? Representative Roblin.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
I rise in support of Senate Bill 1106. This is a local solution to a statewide crisis that schools in every one of our districts have faced in recent years. School leaders and city officials in Portland have come to this body and requested our help. This is an easy vote for me. Every child in Oregon has a right to receive the best education possible. Without this extension, Portland Public Schools will have no choice but to cut teachers and significantly reduce the number of school days each year. The resulting shorter school years, larger class sizes, and less individual attention for students are unacceptable. This bill doesn't affect what other school districts in Oregon will receive, but it will help save one of the last great public urban school districts in our country. Unlike most other urban school districts across the country, the Portland school system has not seen a large-scale migration of its students to private schools. Students from all walks of life receive a high-quality education in the Portland Public Schools. As a legislator, we have an obligation to help them continue to meet their high standards. This is not an uncommon problem to school districts throughout Oregon. This solution has worked and will continue to work in a city like Portland. In the future, it might be lawmakers from Central Oregon or the South Coast who come to this body and ask for support for their particular local solutions, one that would fit their needs and their community. I would like to think that many of us would be supportive of their efforts. There's been a lot of talk in recent years about the growing divide in this state between rural Oregonians and those living in urban areas. Action today is an important first step in bridging that divide. It recognizes that though we may have differing solutions, our challenges are similar and our motives are pure. This is about doing what's right for Oregon's kids, regardless of where they live. I've been warned by many around me that I should think twice before voting and supporting this bill, that it might be problematic to my reelection prospects. But I believe the voters in my district sent me to Salem to do what I believe is right, not what is politically convenient. Today, I'm going to worry about doing what's right for Oregon, Portland, and our kids. Tomorrow, I'll worry about what's right for my campaign. I urge you to vote aye, Senate Bill 1106.
Further discussion? Representative Thatcher.
To the bill.
To the bill.
I appreciate the comments from good representative from West Lynn, but folks, the buck stops here. It's been said that this isn't a tax increase and we're removing an obstacle to allow the Portland School Board to increase property taxes. Well, here's what it is. It's special treatment for Portland schools. It is taxation without representation, and it is bad policy. I urge you to vote no.
Further discussion, Representative Dolan.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Thank you, colleagues.
To the bill?
To the bill. I want to address for you some other schools in the states, some schools that also have great problems, as great a concerns as the Portland School District. I want to tell you about remote and necessary schools. They are generally schools that are geographically isolated. They are generally schools with a population of less than 100. They are generally schools where a student goes to the elementary, the middle, and high school all in the same building. There are schools that have four high school teachers, perhaps one middle school teacher, three elementary teachers, and one administrator. These schools have been very innovative. They have done everything they can to dodge the bullet. I tell you that if we do not address the problems of these schools as quickly as we address the problems of the Portland schools, they will slip away in the middle of the night. In talking to 12 or 13 of these administrators, they feel that they have 2 years, maybe three left to survive. And when we address the problem with only one section of the state and leave the other unaddressed, I'm afraid that we won't be able to put together the coalitions that Arnie talks about. I'm afraid that these schools will go with a whimper, not a bang. Thank you very much. I urge you to vote no until we handle all school problems with shrinking enrollment.
Seeing no one else in the queue, Representative Shields.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Scott and I were just going to change the order to close. Briefly, I just want to underline that Scott and I both agree that a yes vote today does not increase a dime of revenue. It doesn't increase taxes. That could only happen through the representative democracy, through elected officials at the school board who stand not only for election, but who are subject to recall and re-election. Right now, you have an opportunity to help 47,000 kids today. I urge your I vote to help those 40,000 kids. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Representative Rosenbaum requests a call of the House. She's joined by Representative Barker, Representative Greenlick, Representative Gilman, two more hands, Representative Tomei and Representative Hansen. Doorkeepers will bar the doors. The Sergeant-at-Arms will attend, and the clerk will call the roll.
Ackerman, Anderson, Avakian, Barker, Barnhart, Berger, Beyer, Boone, Boquist, Brown, Bruin, Buckley, Burley, Butler, Cameron, Dallum, Dalto, Dalto-Dingfelder, Esquivel, Farr, Flores, Galizio, Garrard, Gelser, Gilman, Greenlick, Hannah, Hansen, Haas, Holvey, Hunt, Jensen-Kitts, Comp, Krieger, Krupp, Crummel-Lim, McPherson, March, Merkley, Morgan, Nelson, Nolan, Olson, Richardson, Riley, Roblin, Rosenbaum, Schaffler, Scott, Shields, Greg Smith, Patty Smith, Sumner, Thatcher, Tomei, Wisnett, Witt, Speaker Minnis, not answering, Jensen, Crummel.
All members of press, those who are of the opinion the bill should pass, will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Merkley, how do you vote?
Aye.
Merkley votes aye. Representative Crummel, how do you vote? Crummel votes aye. Representative Krieger, how do you vote? Krieger votes no. Representative Wisnett, how do you vote? Representative Wisnett. No? Representative Esquivel, how do you vote?
Aye.
Votes aye. Representative Scott, how do you vote? Votes no. Senate Bill 1106, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Messages from the Governor.
Madam Speaker, I'm directed by the Governor to inform you that he has lied and vetoed a single item of House Bill 5135 without affecting any other provisions of the bill on August 29, 2005. Madam Speaker, I'm directed by the Governor to inform that he has vetoed the following bills: House Bill 2056, 2588, 3463 on September 2, 2005. Madam Speaker, I'm directed by the Governor to inform that he has vetoed the following bill: House Bill 3453 on September 7, 2005.
While we're standing at ease, I'd like to recognize Representative Gary Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Point of personal privilege. On Senate Bill 5644, I inadvertently forgot to declare a conflict of interest. My wife's an employee and a very diligent employee of DHS. Thank you.
Representative Hunt, you were off the floor during that vote. Would you care to vote? I'm sure I could get unanimous consent. Representative Hunt, request unanimous consent to vote on Senate Bill 5644. Representative Hunt, how do you vote? Votes aye. Oh, you did? Sorry. Representative Merkley. Representative Merkley, you're in the queue.
Thank you very much, Madam Speaker. I'd like to raise a point of personal privilege.
State your points.
Colleagues, there was a tradition during term limits in which times we knew who was leaving this body to have a moment in which at the end of session folks would have a chance to share any thoughts when we knew that they weren't returning. We have now, since we're all filed for next cycle, we know that seven of our members won't be returning. And I wanted to rise and say that they are folks that I've come to know, come to have considerable affection for, and will miss their contribution to this body. And if any of them would like to share their thoughts, I would encourage them to rise to a point of personal privilege. Brad Avakian, running for the Senate. Gary Hansen, who is running for County Commission. Steve March, who is running for County Auditor. Mark Cass, who is returning to private business. Bob Ackerman, who is going on his great retirement adventures, I believe. And Gordon Anderson, returning home. And Derek Kitts, who is running for Congress. So we'll hear of many of our colleagues in their future roles, but just wanted to say thank you for your contributions, and we'll miss you.
Representative Anderson, you're in the queue. Did you want to speak?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I would like to take this chance to thank all of you. This has been one of the best experiences of my life. It's not that I really would like to leave, but I really feel it is time. My wife and I sat down and thought long and hard as to whether I should come back. And when it became apparent that I had a very good recruit to come in and campaign for this district, I realized I'd made the right decision. We have two wonderful daughters and five grandsons down in Atlanta. It's not easy to get to see them very often, so we are a little bit more free to go and visit with them. I also have some very, very heavy business interests that have been put on my shoulders by my aging father-in-law. But the thing that I think I have enjoyed the most here is relationships. I look on both sides of the aisle and see people who truly, I think, are my friends from the relationships that we've built up, whether it's on judiciary or environment or human services. I just have treasured and will treasure those relationships. So many folks that not only have I enjoyed working for, but I have respected I think the thing that the people on the outside of this room or this building don't understand is each one of you, each one of us, come at it with the idea of service first and foremost, and I don't think there is really anything else. It's been impressive to me to see your commitment to know as best I could to serve my people and the people of Oregon with integrity, and I really respect each one of you for that. Thank you.
Representative, you have indeed accomplished that, and it's been our pleasure to serve with you. We wish you well. Representative Hass.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'll be brief. I just wanted to say thank you for all the kindness you have all shown me over the last 6 years. Thank you for all of the patience you've shown me over the last 6 years. God knows it was more than I deserved. And finally, I want to say thank you for today. I know for some of you there were some places on either side of these bills where you may have had to hold your nose and bite your tongue. To me, that feels like bipartisanship, and so I thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Ackerman.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. My remarks, likewise, will be brief, particularly since I can't sing. And my dancing ability is worse than my singing. So I promise you not a song and dance, but a slow goodbye. As I have campaigned for this position over the past 5 or 6 years, the common question I'm asked by members of the public is, how come we assemble here and engage in what's called partisan bickering? And I tell them, that's not my experience. That's not the experience of this House. The fact that we are a democracy means that we must argue and compromise and seek political creativity. That, in my mind, is not bickering. That's a democratic process, and I was extremely proud to be a part of that here in this assembly. I also want to thank our committee staff, committee administrators, clerk's office, and the leadership of both parties that extended me great courtesies and great honors during my service here over the past, 3 general sessions and 6 special sessions, perhaps. This is more than a house. This is a house because people like you and I inhabit it, work for the common interest, work in a professional and collegial manner, and that's why this has been a great experience for me, and I think for all of us. And I thank you all for that great, great opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I, too, would like to thank both my colleagues and the tremendous staff that we have in this institution for the number of incredible kindnesses that they've shown me over 4 terms. And I apologize for my cell phone going off. It'll be the last time this will happen, I assure you. It's a great honor to serve in the House. It's been a great honor to serve with you. And I just thank you all for those kindnesses that have been shown. Thank you.
Representative Vakian.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I can sing, but won't. thank you, Jeff. When a Senate seat opens up, it just seems so natural for folks to think that one of the reps will move over there. But frankly, I had to take 4 long, hard days to sort through that, and there were some very good reasons for that. One of them was that Representative Grimlett called me and said, you better do it because I'm not going. That was one. But the other was that my experience over here has just been nothing short of remarkable. I mean, I've served on a lot of boards and been a part of a lot of community organizations, just like all of you have. But frankly, I have never in my life done something that has been so personally meaningful and that I thought was so important to the people around me than serving with all of you. And not that that experience would end on the Senate side, but just that I have grown very fond of the people that are in my caucus and very fond of those that are across the aisle. But I did make the decision to try, and hopefully come next January I'll still be working with all of you in just a different capacity. But the one thing I wanted to part with was this thought. Even though I thank the people of my district for allowing me to be a part of what we've done the last two sessions, because personally it's meaningful, my feelings are just much deeper than that. This is a great institution. It's an institution that is bigger than any one of us or anybody that has ever served here as an individual. And it's a special thing personally to be a part of it, but it's special because it is the people's institution. And you rarely get a chance in life to be a part of something that is so much bigger than yourself. And so thank you all for your friendship over the last couple sessions, and thank you to the people of my district for allowing me to be a part of this.
Representative March.
Thank you, Madam Speaker and colleagues. I had actually intended to save this speech for Special Session 5 in December, but since we had a lull in the action here, I thought I'd go ahead and speak to it. And the good representative from Grants Pass really nailed it when he talked about the relationships, that this building is a building of relationships. And I learned that from his predecessor, Carl Wilson. And he was my freshman year, he was chair of rules. He was a great chair. He let people speak on bills that he knew were going nowhere, but wanted to make sure that every Oregonian had the opportunity to be heard. And that's what this place is about. It's making sure that every Oregonian's voice has a voice here and has an opportunity to be heard in one way or another. And it's been my pleasure to serve my constituents, but also serve Oregonians. And I look forward to working with you again in another capacity and serving Oregon. Thank you.
Well, we're ahead of the Senate. We have cleared our agenda. We're waiting for a sine die resolution, but they're still working on Jessica's Law, so let's just stand at ease. Sine die, please leave your voting key in your desk. Please return your per diem form to the chief clerk's office. And then the chief clerk is having a recognition for one of her long-standing staffs who've worked in this process, I think, well over 20 years. Peggy Gilmore is being an entrepreneur. She's going to start her own coffee shop and nursery. So please go by and say goodbye to her as well. There's one member, while we're waiting, if I can get your attention. There's one member who is not going to be returning with us. And I wonder, Representative Kitts, would you like to make any comments?
Madam Speaker, I can't think of a politician that would ever pass on an opportunity to make any comments. Echoing the good sentiments of the good representative from Beaverton, it's not very often that a congressional seat opens up, which is why I'm not waiting. So, in all seriousness, I do want to thank everybody. I want to thank my colleagues on my side of the aisle for gracing me with the privilege of serving as their majority whip over the last session. To my colleagues on the other side of the aisle, I look around and I know it's about 50-50. Some are like, eh, you know, good riddance. But that's fine. The feeling's mutual. Colleagues, we don't always have to agree. And we don't. But never, ever let anybody in this process tell you that what you do down here is not honorable. We can disagree on everything, but that's why we're here. I thank all of you so much. Representative Merkley said to me, said there were some Democrats that were down there watching you ride a bull for the governor's fundraiser, and you should acknowledge that. I said, yeah, but I don't know exactly why they were down there. So, colleagues, from everything that we've done together, from the bottom of my heart, I want to thank you for everything that you do for our state and everything that you have done for me personally. I consider you all friends. Thank you.
Yes, Representative Buckian.
I just want folks to know I was one of those representatives down there at the Lane County Fair watching Kits ride that bill, and we did go down for a reason. We thought the bull would win. But it did. I do think he hung in there for 2 or 3 seconds, so we give you credit for that.
Please stay on the floor. They are closing on the last bill, and then they're taking a roll call vote, and then moving on to the signing day resolution. So if you'll just hold steady, be about 7 to 10 minutes. Thank you. We're moving on the signing day resolution, so if you'll take your seats.
There are things about the work that we do for each of us to love, and things about the work that we did for each of us to be good. And so I leave my colleagues each to their own devices to decide which of the things that we did that we love and which of the things that we did that we adore. For myself, I think we did a great piece of public policy that suggested as well. On the other side of that, I'm a bit more personally, one thing I think we can say is that we spent $178,475,000, and that was exactly all the money there was. And we just really want to remember, we spent every penny there was to spend. And so, truly, our work here is done. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
For discussion. Question now rises upon the adoption of SCR 12. Those who have made the resolution will be adopted by the aye and name the call. Those opposed, of course, please call the roll. Very early. Stewart? Wortley? Johnson? Cruz? Lester? Montana? Morissette? Moore? Nelson? Lamonti? Rayno? Schroeder? Shield? Sarpy? Sarcy, Berger, Berger, Walker, Wesley, Whitson, Winters, Winters, Ashley, Gates.
messages from the Senate.
Madam Speaker, I'm directed by the President from the Senate to pass Senate Bill 3510 and 3511 and adopted SCR 12.
Chair requests unanimous consent to temporarily return to the order of business of first reading memorials and resolutions. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Clerk will read the bill.
SCR 12, adjourning special session of the 73rd Legislative Assembly, sign it aye.
Chair requests unanimous consent to temporarily advance to the order of business of final reading memorials and resolutions. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Clerk will read the bill. Chair requests unanimous consent to consider SCR 12 immediately. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
SCR 12, adjourning special session of the 73rd Legislative Assembly, sine die. Be it resolved by the Legislative Assembly of the State of Oregon that the special session of the Senate and House of Representatives of the 73rd Legislative Assembly is adjourned, sine die.
Those of the opinion the resolution should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Boquist, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Roman, votes aye. SCR 12 is adopted, and the special session of the 73rd Legislative Assembly is now adjourned. Thank you.